says that it should be open recently. I've been told that he is chairing another meeting at the moment. As soon as he finishes, he will join us. So I would like to suggest that we start. You will make it an introduction to Max when he arrives. Before we... I see that we don't have a... apologies for the... today's agenda. I think we should go through the apologies that we have. Of course, initially, we planned to have a bigger meeting arising out of a presentation that we received from a while ago from the Department of Energy, SALCA, and ESCOM on this specific matter. At the time of receiving the presentation, it was quite clear to us that to get to some finality on the matter, we will need to get the Department of Public Enterprises to come to a joint meeting because they are department which ESCOM reports, who are part of who, and ESCOM is part of this difficulty that we try to resolve. And during that presentation, we were informed that there was a ministerial task team that was established and it was undertaking its work. According to the report we received at the time, it would have finished, I think it was around the 13th of October when it was supposed to have submitted a report. So we said that when they are done with the submission of the report, we'd like them to come back to tell us how far how the matter has been resolved. And we're told that COPT is the lead department in the interministerial task team. So we spoke to the chairperson of the follow committee, COPT, so that we can have a joint meeting. But from that presentation, it was clear that in finding a solution, National Treasury would have to be involved. We had also spoken to the Standing Committee on Finance to be part of the discussion. But on our numbers, because we see it now towards the end of the year, the Standing Committee on Finance did indicate to us that it is going to be extremely difficult to be part of this meeting. So they apologized a few weeks ago that they were part of the meeting. Last week, I don't want to mention the Department of Public Enterprises. They did say something with regard to the course of the process of the inquiry, but they recorded. I can see the Deputy Director General is here, so I didn't want to talk about it here or this thing. But we planned that they would be part of this presentation. So last week we decided that so we will continue the meeting with a joint meeting with energy and power. We appreciate the fact that the Deputy Director General from the Department of Public Enterprises is here. to understand that the inquiries are continuing this week, next week and not this week. But that said, I think that we must proceed to receive the presentation. We did indicate that we wanted the various ministers to be present. We did receive apologies. So last week we made a determination that nonetheless we must go ahead with the meeting. We assured that the members of the task team, or at least the technical task team, would be here to give us a report, an update on this particular matter. As I close, I do know that Coctor had looked at this matter previously. And so the select committee in the NCOP, our interest as the portfolio committee of energy arose because we were informed that all members know that we had had difficulties of electricity supply in the past. And we were informed that by ESCOM that those challenges have been overcome. So as we're looking into the future, we're trying to have a discussion to see if there will be no disruptions in future with regard to the supply of electricity. And then we were assured that it does not look like we'll have difficulties of supply, at least up to 21-22. We don't know what will happen beyond. So, because from where we're sitting, we wanted certainty that we're not going to return to what happened a few years ago. In the course of that discussion, it became clear that it is possible that we'll resolve the issues of supply or generation, but that there are serious challenges with regard to the distribution network. So when you ask, what's the problem with the repair of the distribution network, this issue of reticulation and the dispute with regard to it came to the fore. So we thought from our side that it is important that that matter be resolved, because we don't want a situation in future where we have enough supply of electricity but there are outages as a result of problems of either transmission or distribution. So we have got to make sure that throughout the entire value chain that the system works and that we can be able to supply electricity to companies and households on a consistent basis. So from our side, this is how this matter arose, because we wanted to make sure that it can be solved. But the technical team is here, they'll present the report. I want Mr. Porter to give us the apologies that they received. And before that, Deputy Minister of Energy, I'm sure you will speak on behalf of the Minister and the Deputy Minister. Mr. Kwasi, give us the apologies that we received.
Thank you,
Chair. And hopefully in due course, Honorable Dagara will be here. As you can see that the agenda says led by COCT. So he's got to be here so that he can be this meeting.
Over to you. Thank you, Chair. My apologies from the Minister, the Deputy Minister, and the DG of Cooperative Governance and Digital Affairs. They will be attending the Budget Council meeting, Chair, so we are unable to attend. Then also an apology from the Minister of Public Enterprises, who is attending a SCOPA meeting this morning, Chair. And then also an apology from the Minister of Energy, who under the fire engagement is unable to attend, Chair. So those are the apologies I see, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Chair.
Chairperson Kevin Marlin from Portfolio Committee of COGTA. Chair, I want to raise my vigorous concern and objection to the fact that the Minister of COGTA is not here today. First of all, there was a commitment from the Minister that he would attend today and answer questions. Secondly, Chairperson, and I realise this isn't your committee, but he is the Chairperson of the Interministerial Task Team. Now, our job as MPs is to hold the ministers and the executive to account. And if the person who is responsible is not here, how are we to do that? How are we to ask questions? And I realise the Deputy Minister of Energy is here, but I can't ask a question relating to COGTA to the Minister of Energy or the Deputy Minister of Energy. So we are essentially embarking on a fruitless exercise where we are trying to hold the executive accountable and we are failing because the ministers deem their other duties more important than accounting to Parliament. And it's something that plays out again and again in this Parliament, and I'd like it recorded that the Democratic Alliance has a vigorous objection to the fact that the ministers are not here today. Chairperson Kevin Milam.
I suggest we return to that matter when Honourable Mutagan arrives. I don't recognize the difficulty we're going to have. We can discuss that matter when he's here. I don't recognize the difficulty we're going to have with regard to today's presentation. When the technical casting has made the presentation and political questions arise to which ministers must respond, I don't know how we're going to address it, so it may be difficult, but because the Minister of COGTA is the lead minister in this particular matter, I'll suggest that we discuss that matter when the chair arrives, and that will allow the space for the presentation to be done in the matter. I noted your hand, Honourable Member, and I'm sorry, I'm going to struggle with the names. That Honourable Masebe.
The reason why this high-powered meeting was requested, with ministers included, relevant ministers, was because in the previous presentation, the presenters did not seem to have any solution. That is why this meeting was called. And if in today's meeting the presentation is not going to address the issues that were not covered the issues that were raised in the previous meeting, that there was no solution, and my colleague Kevin in particular, he requested for the ministers, relevant ministers, to be present today. Now they are not here, and we are going to have a presentation again, a duplication of the previous one, because the solution and the decision does not lie with the presenters here, it lies with the minister. Thank you.
I suggest that we do repeat the presentation and come back to this discussion. I share your concern. We have heard the presentation before ourselves. We think the challenge is political in nature, and therefore it has got to be addressed in approach in that manner. So, but we'll come back to that. I do want to hear the presentation, and then we can come back to that issue to see if at some point in the future we'll want these ministers to come back.
overriding thing is we do want to find a solution to the problem that we currently facing with regard to electricity circulation. And at least from our side as energy, with regard to the rehabilitation of distribution infrastructure. Honourable Member.
Thank you very much, Chair. You know, it's very disappointing that our Minister of Culture is not here. In fact, I have never met him in this portfolio committee. I arrived here in June. He has always, when requested to come here, put apologies. And the last apology that was given in the last meeting to address this matter was that no, he is indeed going to come. I remember the chair was actually talking to the honourable member and saying that no, don't rush, the minister will come, all that. It's now the last apology and all that. And I'm not sure whether the presentation that you suggest we must listen, and we want to listen to the presentation, I must assure you of that, is really going to assist us in addressing what the meeting was supposed to address in their absence. But also, I must thank the Deputy Minister of Energy for availing herself here. I feel that the Department of Energy is indeed willing to be part of the solutions to the problems confronting our society. But as you said that maybe the problem is political in nature, I think there is no will from the side of others to address this matter. Now, is there any, you know, need really to sit and listen to a presentation that will leave us with more questions that will never be addressed? I think everyone is here because there is a will. I understand the apology of the chairperson, but also it's a concern because he's the one who was part of organizing this meeting. So if he is now chairing another meeting, perhaps he is aware that even his minister is not here. Hence, that meeting becomes a priority and this one becomes a second or third priority in the meeting schedules for him today. So I'm really very, very disappointed. Very, very disappointed, Chair. But we do want to listen to the presentation as we are here. So I really don't know, Chair.
Thank you. Honourable members, I suggest that we receive the presentation. After receiving the presentation, we can come to this discussion. We can discuss the presentation and the fact that perhaps we can't find a solution because the principals are not here. So let's come back to that discussion. So I suggest that we receive the presentation. You still want to? I saw you. Yes. Honourable Mr.
Thank you very much, Chair. I understand the concern of our colleagues here, Chair. I think the main issue here, we had, I was looking at this presentation as well, Chair. It still talks about issues that, it talks about structural matters, and these are the issues that we have discussed last time. And it was presented through administration. I think what we agreed upon it was, yes, it was a question of the political will now to say how do we get out, just to get few resolutions. This meeting was to craft some resolution and way forward. And if that is not here, Chair, I don't know what could be the way forward. And I understand the Chair is not necessarily Chair running away from this meeting and coming. We have just a strategy meeting that has taken for so long, but it's coming. But for the executive chair, I don't know, maybe that one, let's find a way without just going direct to the presentation and discuss it and see how we can resolve it, other than just shutting down chair and say, let's hear the presentation. Maybe let's hear that first. It will assist all of us.
please get the presentation.
Honorable Governor did
speak to me this morning to explain to me the difficulties that the other meetings. Let us start. Let me tell you, I am with you with regard to the technical nature and the process nature of the presentation. The issue, at the heart of the issue was, are we able to fund, because honorable members know the history of this process and the fact that it was almost nearing the court, so a solution had to be found. So we wanted to see, has a solution been found? As far as we are concerned, the task team would have finished its work by now so that they can give us the outcome of their work so that with a solution, to see if there's a solution, and if there is no solution, then we can make an assessment as to what to do. So I do share your concern that presentation can prove to be slightly difficult. But I suggest we receive the presentation. After receiving the presentation, have a discussion and then decide on the way forward. And hopefully Honorable Dagan will be joined us by that time. Deputy Minister.
Honorable Chairperson, honorable members, good morning, and to the officials here. I have heard the concerns, which I think are very valid concerns. I'm glad that we will be receiving the report because the Portfolio Committee on Energy has not received this particular report. Because, as you know, the task team is led by COPTA, so we probably received this report. We haven't done so. But I believe we are also more interested in this report because after it had been prepared, it then went to the Presidential Coordination Committee where all the municipalities and the provinces are represented. So I would be interested to know if there would be any outcomes that would assist us in terms of this process. But I think it will also help us with the members in one room, even though the others might have heard it, to give an opportunity that now that we are sort of on the same page, what is the proposed way forward? I think it will be very useful to do that. And maybe just to say, Chairperson, that from the Department of Energy's point of view as well, this is a very important meeting for us because unlike a lot of other government departments, as members would know, we don't have MECs. So we work local, national. So we are really interested in hearing what would have come out of the PCC and to also hear from members from COCTA in terms of what their own thinking around these issues are because we obviously, as the people who are responsible for the electrification process, are confronted with these challenges on a daily basis, and we might have our own thoughts, but definitely we are hoping and looking forward to getting some wisdom from members of COPTA who probably deal with these issues on a much more detailed manner because this is their core business in terms of particularly the local government level. But apart from that, Chairperson, I really did not want to say much more because I thought COPTA would really lead us on this, but I'm really happy that we will be able to have the presentation and then take the discussion from there. And from energy perspective, obviously, I will be able to then hear and get that and feed that back to the Minister. Thank you, Honourable Member.
It appears that we will have an agreed way forward after the presentation. So that we will be able to discuss an agreement. So who's going to start with the presentation?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Deputy Minister, and Honorable Members. My name is Teboho Motlhatswe. I'm the for Institutional Development in COPTA. I have with me Dr. Vimba, who is also the acting CEO of LISA. We also have Mentuli from the Office of the DG, and Mohan Pitani from our parliamentary office in Cape Town. As already indicated, DG, the Minister, Deputy Minister, the DG are engaged elsewhere, and we will then present the presentation that was about 80% of it presented before the Portfolio Committee of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs, and we'll also be giving the progress in relation to where we are, and also give an update in relation to the kind of progress work that has been made towards the resolution of the problems identified by the MTT. The purpose is also as indicated. I will speak to the slides. I will read the slides so that I give a perspective of what the issues are. In the background, we are all aware that there are two service providers in the municipal area. Thank you.
You don't like to be interrupted. But I can interrupt. Okay. Who else is here? So, can we just, for the benefit of the members, just get introduce the other departments and the officials who are here, who are there, and COPTA, everybody say. Can we just do that quickly? SALGA, COPTA, I'm sure DPE will introduce ESCOM as well, and can we just see who's here?
Morning, I'm Jean de la Hoff, the Executive Director for Infrastructure Services at SALGA.
Morning, I'm Begumza Charles Stofile, Councillor, responsible for governance and councillor welfare, SALGA, member of the executive committee.
Morning, Chair. My name is Ntandazo Vimba, the acting CEO of NISA.
Good morning, Lebohante and the Ministry COPTA.
Good morning, Itabuhin Tuli, PO, Office of the DG.
Good morning, Honorable Chair. The name is Sonia Bokek. I'm acting as the manager of parliamentary affairs on behalf of SALGA.
Good morning, Chair. Marion Hughes, General Manager, Stakeholder Relations, ESCOM.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, members. My name is Thabang Odat from the Department of Energy, Chief Director, Energy Planning.
Morning, Chair. Honorable members. My name is Marcelo Brunello, Manager of Parliamentary Affairs. Let's go.
Morning, Chair.
Morning, Chair, Madam Honourable Members. My name is Yolisa Sucharo, Councillor Yolisa Sucharo, from SALGA. Came on behalf of the Member of Portfolio of Energy.
Morning, Chair, Honourable Members. I'm Sean Meritz, the Interim Group CEO for ESCOM.
Good morning, Mahola Makurulu, Acting DDG for Energy at the DPE.
You can proceed.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. As I've already indicated, in the municipal space, the municipality reticulate electricity in that area, and in some areas also in municipal space, the ESCOM also do reticulate electricity. There has been some dispute in relation to who should be responsible for reticulation in municipal space, and the discussion that we had between ourselves, ESCOM, and saga did not yield the required results, and as a result, the formation of the IMTT was then established. This slide deals with the IMTT and the ministers who are part and parcel of this entity, and it was specifically established to deal with structural and systemic challenges in relation to the regulation of energy in the municipal space. The formation of this IMTT, it was mainly to look into the so-called dispute in relation to the interpretation of the sections in the in the Constitution and also in the Systems Act, that the Constitution gives the municipalities and executive authority to articulate, whereas ESCOM is of the opinion that the Energy Act, together with the Systems Act, did give some provision for ESCOM to provide electricity to articulate electricity in the municipal space. As I've already indicated, there are three sections in relation to the Section 160 of the Constitution that gives that to municipalities, and also the Electricity Regulation Act that gives NERSA to give license to ESCOM to distribute also in the municipal space. Those are the issues that were to be discussed and finalized by the IMTT. The bone of contention in relation to the whole this was to give clarity in relation to who has the executive authority to articulate electricity in the municipal space. There has been contention also from other quarters of people in the IMTT that because the Constitution supersedes any other subordinate legislation, municipalities have got the right to distribute and not ESCOM to distribute electricity in the municipal space, and that there should be a mechanism that is going to be utilized for a service delivery agreement to be signed between the department and ESCOM. And ESCOM has indicated that the interpretation is different in relation to the interpretation of the two sections in the Constitution and in the two subordinate acts. There has been concerns, as I've already indicated, that municipalities are of the opinion that constitutional authority or the executive authority lies with municipalities, and because ESCOM is a service provider that derives its mandate from subsidiary or subordinate legislation, this whatever service that is being done by ESCOM in the municipal area should be done through the service delivery agreement that has to be signed between ESCOM and the municipalities. Because as matter stands, there are challenges in relation to one, municipalities being able to levy surcharges changes in ESCOM supply areas. Municipalities are able to exercise grid control in ESCOM supply areas because they have the mechanism to cut off in instances where they want to submit and also force municipalities, service providers, to pay for the services in municipalities. And also there's lack of tariff parity between what the municipality is setting and what ESCOM is setting in one municipal area. There are also conflicts in relation to the supply areas, and there is a suggestion also coming strongly from other members of the IMTT that there should be a service delivery agreement between municipalities and ESCOM. The update in relation to the following is that the IMTT, after several discussions, acknowledged the fact that this is a complex matter that needs clarity, and there needs to be clarity in relation to the roles and responsibility of both ESCOM and municipalities, and that we need to give a clear instruction, clear meaning in relation to the implication of the Constitution, which gives the executive authority to municipalities, and the subsequent legislation that deals with the power of ESCOM to articulate in the municipal area. There were two presentations that were made at the PCC, and on the 29th of August, we presented to the PCC and indicated that there was a discussion that we should approach the court for a declaration in order to give clarity in relation to the two interpretations. However, on the 14th of November this year, the PCC actually, in that meeting, did not support the idea of a declaratory order. And on the 14th of November, they gave a directive. The PC gave a directive that there should be an advisory panel that will be appointed to look into the final clarity into the interpretation of the two sets of the constitution and the subsidiary legislation, and that the decision of that particular panel, the advice that should be given to the IMTT, will then give a way forward in relation to how the structural and the systemic issues that arose will be then be addressed by the IMTT. This has been given, the advisory body has been given 2 months to finalize their work, and I must indicate that the minister have also consulted the SAGA and have finalized the terms of reference for the appointment of this advisory council, and the decision now lies with the minister, and the minister has given an indication that the appointment of the advisory panel shall be made before the 15th of December. And from the 15th of December, once the appointment has been made, then the advisory panel will be given 2 months to finalize and submit to the IMTT for deliberations and finalization. Some of the issues that are coming to this other slide in relation to what are the issues that are outstanding and offer conflict between ESCOM and municipalities, and also to give an update in relation to what we have done up to so far. One is in relation to where ESCOM reticulates in the municipal area, that this package does not include the public lighting. You realize that in some instances, the ESCOM will then be reticulating to household, but the public lighting will then be the responsibility of a municipality. That gives a problem because even the infrastructure that is going to be utilized by ESCOM and municipalities in most instances belong to the municipalities. The update thereof is that the existing policy does not address the provision of public street lighting, and the IMTT has given a request, has given an instruction to the Department of Energy to develop a policy on the provision of public street lighting by the end of September 2018. We then coming back to the committee to report on the progress made once the Department of Energy has developed that particular policy. The second one is in relation to renewable energy. As you are aware that the city of Cape Town has taken energy to court in relation to the refusal to approve the request by the city to buy renewable energy from, and the matter will be going here as part of the energy policy which the Department of Energy is currently undertaking. We'll also be coming back to this report once the Department of Energy has given us the policy in relation to that. NERSA is implementing the National Geographic Information System project to review and update Schedule 1 of the distribution license for municipalities and ESCOM. And the Schedule 1, once it is updated, and the corresponding polygons and NERSA web-based GSEs uploaded, that will give a good clear picture of the area that is being supplied by ESCOM and by municipalities in that area. So this particular geographic information system will assist and finalize the area clearly, where it gives the boundaries or the polygons that gives a distinction between the provision made by ESCOM and the municipalities. Systematic challenges, it's in relation to ESCOM grid control mechanism for municipal park accounts are not aligned to the local municipal finance management act. And we need to rationalize municipality tariffs. We need to notify the maximum demand and related personalities. Reconciliation of municipal debt to the ESCOM, the scorecard debt owed to and municipalities. And the update thereof is that there was an agreement between ESCOM and the department to reduce the charges from prime plus 5 to prime plus 2.5. Also in relation to the 15 days to 30 days for that to be aligned with the planning cycle of municipalities. And also it was agreed that monies paid by municipalities to ESCOM should rather be written against the capital amount and not on interest. And that the rationalization of municipal tariffs from 11 to 3 has been approved by ESCOM board, which will then be submitted to NERSA for finalization. The IMTT discussed this concession, however, since the interest charge is calculated as compound interest, the FET is not regarded as a concession in relation to the payment received from the capital to interest owned by municipalities. Also, municipalities are required to determine the municipal specific notification maximum demand. In instances where municipalities exceed this notified maximum demand, there has been an interest loaded into the amount of the municipalities, and there has been a progress made in relation to NERSA agreeing to review the process of methodology to calculate the notified maximum demand, so that municipalities are not penalized for a period of 12 months once that has not been adhered to. The reconciliation of accounting to ESCOM by municipalities has been undertaken, and in this instance, National Treasury has agreed that they will then do the consolidation of all amounts owed to ESCOM by different municipalities that will determine the capital separate from the interest, and that will also, National Treasury will also be adjusting the Section 41 reporting template for ESCOM for breakdown of capital amount and the interest component thereof. I must also indicate that there is a discussion that is still outstanding in relation to the prescription period. As you are aware that by law, this the debt prescribed after the expiry of 3 years when prescription is not interrupted. So that particular matter is also part and parcel of the discussion, where ESCOM has been informed that municipalities are of the opinion that they should not be paying all debts that by law should be prescribed, should be prescribed. The National Treasury was requested to do also a full diagnostic of the 60 highest owing municipalities in order to determine affordable payment arrangement for each municipality. And we have agreed that in some instances, municipalities were only getting into this repayment agreement just for the sake of compliance and signings, only to find out municipalities were unable to repay as per the agreement that they signed with municipalities. So National Treasury will look into this and also provide, and municipalities will also be working together with COGTA to see to it that the repayment agreement that are signed are affordable and municipalities are able to implement those. The minister is also embarking on a provincial visit to see to it that those financial recovery plans that are developed between ourselves and between ourselves, National Treasury, SAVA, and all related parties are implemented, and premiers give a political way in ensuring that municipalities stick to the agreement that they've made with ESCOM to repay it. The recommendation thereof is for the portfolio committee to note the progress made so far, and also to indicate that the IMTT is in the process of appointing the advisory panel to assist in the legislative clarity of the role of ESCOM and municipalities. And that the portfolio committee knows the National Treasury Assessment result that has been shared with ESCOM to facilitate the more informed payment agreements that I've already mentioned, and that the portfolio committee knows that the minister is leading the provincial engagement that, as I've already indicated, we have already visited Free State, Northern Cape, and Northwest, and all other municipalities affected by this non-payment of ESCOM and other debts. We will then be developing what we call support packages and also financial recovery plans for municipalities in order for them to implement the resolutions taken at this level. Thank you.
The update. I'm sure you can comment on the comments yourself made. So where do I start? So the hands are around now. I'm going to start with you, Honorable Member.
Thank you, Chairperson.
No. Honorable member who.
Okay, the first one to raise the
hand. You are. You raise your hand first.
I don't mind the lady goes first.
Now you honorable member causing other problems. Okay. She will start because she raised her hand first.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank Honorable Madam.
Honorable Madam, I'm struggling to tell him, so you'll bear with me this morning.
Easy, it's like my lemma, but without the A on the end. Malam.
So, you won't have problems when I say my lemma.
Can I continue, sir?
Please continue, Honourable Member. Can I please have your name, sir?
Mrs. Maluleke, B, member of the COPTA committee.
Honourable Maluleke.
Yes.
Your hand was up first.
Thank you. I just want to appreciate the presentation, although it's a repetition of what we have had as the COPTA committee. Chairperson, I thought maybe today, even though the deputy minister said for them it's for the first time they received this presentation, but with us, what we were expecting today was the progress on what the interministerial committee or team has been doing. You see, we have been sitting with this problem of ESCOM and the municipalities. There is this battle between who's got the power to do one or who's got the power to do two. And it does not come clear whether they have tried to resolve this issue. Because municipalities would cry and say, we are not able to levy where ESCOM is supplying. And ESCOM is the one who is also supplying municipalities with bulk energy. But then the problem is, if the municipalities cannot levy the areas where ESCOM is supplying as a sole mandate, then there's a problem. I thought maybe the team will tell us how did they resolve this thing, because municipalities are crying that we cannot raise revenue because we cannot levy. So I just want to find out what is the progress on that issue. And the other issue is, you see, municipalities are owing ESCOM a lot of money. And we have been told that they are going to find a way on how municipalities are going to settle their account with ESCOM. Because there were a lot of challenges. The interest rate that ESCOM is billing the municipalities is too high. So we said they must go and negotiate. Even the debt that is long overdue and it has been there for a long time, how about ESCOM maybe come into agreement with the municipalities on writing off some of the debt? So we'd like to find out whether there has been an agreement on that one. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, a number of questions arise. The first one was, when was the IMTT established and how often has it met? How long have they been having these discussions with relatively little progress over the past few years? Then, arising from the recommendation that an advisory panel be formed, how is that advisory panel going to be comprised? Who is going to be on that advisory panel? I mean, the way it's been presented here, they could stack the panel completely with ESCOM board members, for argument's sake. And that doesn't give you a representative discussion, a diverse input, and a fair and balanced approach to the problem. Chairperson, then, if I can turn to some of the structural issues that were highlighted in the report. The first one that I want to touch on is the one on slide 15, which relates to the role of municipalities in purchasing from other service providers. Chair, it says this matter will be considered as part of the energy policy which the Department of Energy is currently undertaking. Perhaps the Deputy Minister can advise us when that policy will be finalised and when we can expect that municipalities will be in a position to purchase from other suppliers. Then on the next slide, if we look at the way that this is laid out here, it talks about a GIS mapping system that is being utilised to determine where Eskom supply areas are and municipal supply areas are. Frankly, Chairperson, all this does is reinforce the existing status quo. It doesn't solve the problem. It doesn't solve the problem that you've got within a single municipality, one area that is supplied by the municipality and another area that is supplied at a different tariff by Eskom, and an area in which a municipality cannot enforce its credit control policy because they have no penalty that they can enforce, such as cutting off electricity to a not bad. So I really think that that needs to be addressed, and NERSA needs to take a look at that. Chair, then if I come to slide 19, and frankly I think the Eskom board needs to catch a wake up. The issue with municipal debt to Eskom is that, and I've said this before, and Mr. Maritz was in the same seat that he was in now, that municipalities are never going to be in a position to be able to repay all of this debt plus interest that has accrued over the past however many years. They are never going to be in a position. So the board needs to start taking some hard decisions and write off unrecoverable debt. And the more we delay, the bigger this is going to grow, and the more municipalities are going to struggle, and the more we're going to be forced into a situation where we have hyperinflationary increases of tariffs. So I would really urge Eskom, the Minister of Public Enterprises, the Department of Energy, and in fact the Interministerial Task Team, which sadly isn't here today, to take some hard decisions and look at what municipalities can afford. And I'm very pleased to see that National Treasury has gotten involved in this process. But it would have been helpful if National Treasury could share that information so that we could see and have oversight over what is being done. You know, it's all very well to say National Treasury has, and I think it's on slide 21, they are assisting municipalities, they've adjusted the reporting template, they've done a full diagnostic. But we don't know, we don't see that, we don't have that information. Now, how are we expected to take political decisions? How are we expected to say to COGTA or public enterprises or energy, fix this, if we don't know what the issue is? And then lastly, just, and this goes to COGTA, and again, it's the kind of question that the minister should answer. We have a number of municipalities that are facing throttling of electricity supply. We have some that have entered into payment arrangements, and whether those payment arrangements are affordable or not is a separate question. But my question to COGTA is this. How many of those municipalities that are facing electricity throttling or have faced in the past few months have been placed under administration or currently under administration? How many of them have financial recovery plans prepared by National Treasury, by the Municipal Financial Recovery Service, in place and are adhering to those plans? And if they aren't adhering to those plans, why have those municipal councils not been dissolved? Because that is what the Constitution requires of your minister. So why has that not happened? We have a clear financial crisis here. And the knock-on of this crisis we saw yesterday, where municipalities have taken funds meant to pay the water boards and they've used it to settle their Eskom debt. And as a result, they are now in arrears to the water boards. And now the Minister of Water and Sanitation is saying, we're going to cut water to municipalities. So, again, when is Minister Van Rooyen going to take action in terms of Section 139 of the Constitution, 1395, 1391? Because clearly, action is needed. And what I'm seeing here is a distinct lack of political will. Thank you, Chair.
You can sign here, that I'm sure you can sign from here. I have a pencil.
We are taking care of the committee very well. I propose that you take care of us until the end.
And now, David.
Thank you, Chair. I'm largely covered by my colleagues. I'm also interested in what Mr. Milam said about the 60 defaulting municipalities and whether or not they'll be put under administration. But in that regard, could we get a list of which municipalities are defaulting? Is that public knowledge? And could it be shared with us today? That would be ideal. Because I do think that the public needs to be made aware of which municipalities are defaulting, because after all, it is the public that gets ultimately to hold municipalities to account when there are elections. So I think that there should be some transparency around this. Secondly, the presentation notes that the President's Coordinating Council did not support seeking a declaratory order at its meeting on the 29th of August. Can you shed some light on why that decision was taken, not to seek the declaratory order and instead to go for the advisory panel? Just what was the thinking behind not seeking that declaratory order? Because it seems to me that the court is probably the best body. I mean, it's an independent body, and it could have provided some clarity. Because I share my colleagues' concerns that this advisory panel could be constituted in a way that isn't independent, for example. So can you just tell us why the PCC did not support the declaratory order? Then, on the advisory panel, I see that it's only going to be appointed on the 15th of December, but it says that its work will be completed in 2 months from now. So in other words, it will have essentially 6 weeks to complete its work, but it's going to be over Christmas. Are you absolutely sure that that is enough time for the advisory panel to complete its work? And can we get a concrete assurance that its work will be done by the end of January? And then lastly, Chairperson, I'd just like to know, this information is probably known, or it's probably in court papers, but I would like to hear today, and perhaps the Deputy Minister of Energy can tell us, specifically on what grounds is the Ministry of Energy refusing to allow municipalities to buy renewable energy from IPPs? Can you just tell us in a nutshell what the argument is against allowing municipalities to buy renewable energy directly from IPPs? Thanks. Any municipality that would like to do that.
Another one,
Ayucha. Thank you, Chair. Followed by Honorable Mason. Yebo. I'm raising my hand on his behalf.
Thank you, Chair. I'm largely covered by the three speakers who spoke before me. It's like I'm part of the cocktail team, because some of the things that they were raised there are interrelated to issues of energy, the Portfolio Committee of Energy, because some of the things we've raised them long time ago, some yes, some don't yes. Up to today, we're still asking questions with no answers. These issues were raised in 2014, even before 2014. And we're still here talking about the same issues of some previous years, asking questions. We don't want to dig answers from you guys when we're asking questions. Where you don't know, you simply tell us that you don't know, so that we can be able to take it further and talk to the principals and say, these are the things that we are raising. Because we are here representing the people of South Africa. We are not here to represent our jacket. This is a very important issue, because I'm staying in a rural area called Sikukune, in the Makurutawa municipality. You know what's happening? What do you mean if there's no rain, there's no wind, that Mutawasi just went off from nowhere? And because they know you are a politician, Matlala, you have been deployed by the ANC to represent us in the National Assembly. Why is these things from time to time is occurring? No answers. Even your municipalities can't answer that question. They come to me to say, you, Matlala, you are the right person to answer these people. It's a very serious thing. Because to me, Chair, I thought, because this report, I'm told, the report we got from comrades who serve in the cocktail portfolio committee, they are saying this report was long presented to them. Long presented to them. And they are simply raising the same issues they were raising in the previous meetings of cocktail. And we are, here we are, digging answers from the same department. It doesn't occur very well to me, Chair. One, let me just advise you that Deputy DG, DG, no? Yes. To me, Nina, I thought you will come here and say, this is the report, this is the program. This is the program on how to solve the crisis we're faced with in the department or the entire country. To say, this report was presented to the Interministerial Committee. It was also presented to the PCC. And this is our recommendations. This is how far we are. We have dealt with these challenges. We are left with these few challenges. In the next financial year, sure, we are promising you that we'll address these problems that we are faced with. But here you come with the same report that was presented in the next meetings of the COGSTAR Portfolio Committee. You are crying. You want us to assist you. You see, why you don't understand some of the things? Go to people who knows. Go to your chairperson and say, Moran, can you help me? Some of the things here, the young father, I don't see them with my naked eyes. So we'll assist you. Don't run away, because we are the two of us. We're here to help each other. Yeah? Don't come here and say, no, this is the thing that you know, we're doing in the department. And when we check, there's nothing that the department is doing. And we'll come here and accuse you. And you too, you are also going to accuse some of us to say, those comrades are not assistful. Where you don't know, come to us, we'll assist you. Because some of us were vested with these problems that we are faced with on a monthly basis. As we are speaking now, somebody called me last night to say, hey, Marana Matala Mutahazu Timile, in your area, what do you think you must do? Must I talk to the DG? Must I talk to the executive mayor? No. I won't get answers. I mean, I'm tired of people coming to my house almost every day when there is a Mutahazi problems. No. I'm not working in ESCOM. Please, but can you assist us so that we'll be able to assist you and assist the country, South Africa? Please. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I've largely been covered by the previous speakers. My name is Amos. What we do want at this meeting is a sense of progress. Unfortunately, that is not forthcoming. We do need to restate over and over again, I think, the whole question of what are the areas of responsibility? What are the contradictions? And how are these matters being dealt with going forward? As the previous speakers have already indicated, some of these issues have been discussed over years. At the last meeting, because it was very clear that there's no progress. And my sense is that this meeting is not taking much We also need ministers to be here because what we are really keen on is to find out if ministers have met and if they have done so, how are they planning to deal with the matters. We also need to hear the voice of Santa. At the last meeting, Saga spoke, and we do need to have that restated, because if we don't do that, we won't go very far. The other issue that of broader significance, all of us agree we need electricity in the country, in rural areas, and big cities, and small towns, and so on. But there are other challenges that face us, that are realities that we have to grapple with. The economy is not growing, unemployment is rising, inequality, poverty, and so on, which are broader issues. But these issues have implication to raising of revenue and so on and so forth. So we do need to answer the question: how is this going to be dealt with going forward? Because sometimes when we discuss these issues, we discuss as if there's a magic wand to be waved, the problem of that comprise, for instance, the community of Soweto will just disappear, and there's no way that that's going to happen now or in the near future. But the forward-looking approach will go a long way towards assisting us, so that there's a sense that matters are being dealt with and solutions are being sought and then removing the direction of resolving the issues. For instance, at the last meeting, I remember pointing out that ESCOM delivers electricity in Johannesburg, in Soweto. This is the electricity there, try to collect the revenue,
not much success. And it also delivers in collection and review in parts of Sandton. And Eskom has refused over years to pass this responsibility on to the city of Johannesburg. Now, that problem has been there for many years. So it's issues like this that are very concrete problems. And when progress is not being made and so on these kinds of matters, it just complicates the issue and the matters going forward. So we do need to have a meeting with the ministers. And the ministers should have met before, worked out an approach and so on. Otherwise, what's going to happen is that at some point, we're just going to have these court cases. That will then lead to bigger problems. So I'm urging that the sooner a proper meeting happens with all the stakeholders present, the better. These issues are not going to disappear.
You will answer my question. You know, at the end, I ask my own question. But this time around, the only question I want to ask is the process one. So what do you do? So when Eskom, SALGA can't find a solution among themselves, they go to the PCC. The PCC establishes an interministerial task team. When the ministerial task team can't find a solution, establish a panel. When the panel can't find a solution, it's up something. So I'm going to add you another one. I'm going to raise a hand for you on another one, Tim. You said.
Because if we are not already a broken record, we are becoming one. And seemingly there's no sense of agency. And our people outside there, they want a good story. They want good news, you know. We are approaching festive season, you know. It's a season whereby people are to behave, are to enjoy themselves, you know. People that have come to Joburg and they've worked for the whole year, they want to go back home, but they'll be faced with this issue of electricity. It's a very serious issue, you know. When Bab Masondo said we want to hear the voice of SALGA, yesterday it was not nice to watch news and to listen and to hear what was taking place. You know, watching the Minister of Water and Sanitation and also the issue of SALGA having taken Department of Energy to court. It was not a nice day yesterday, you know. So we can't be... each time we watch news or things that we, as Bab Matlala has also stressed, because people are coming to us, you know, they are asking questions. And, you know, you make us to have confidence in you, Costa. When we started in 2014, you know, when you changed in terms of back to basic, the B2B, but you're not adhering to that call that you made, you know.
you're not keeping to your word, as you made us to believe in you, to have that confidence in you that indeed things are going to be turned around, you know. Indeed, we want answers, real answers. You are to the different makers, you know. We can't be here and go back to our constituencies, and we don't have anything that we can tell them what is really real and which. And culture, you are to really need to be. Unfortunately, as I've said, we are becoming a broken record. The issue of the political way, you know, it is important that there should be a willingness into this issue, you know. Ministers are to be here, they are to attend, and they are to ensure that there are answers at the end of the day. I think it's
that all, can we sound out and speak here? And I hear that your voice has been soft. Honorable Dagan, it appears to me at the end that that part of this way forward is to ask for a meeting. And I hope you'll agree with me that we don't have to ask. It's just the timing of this meeting that we must work out. But we must ask for a meeting where all these ministers are present here, because Honorable Ntembu, we don't want to become that broken record that you warning us about. So we'll come back to that. I was raising the question in jest, Deputy Minister, but it's a serious question that when we're confronting a political question, instead of when we have no capacity to resolve it, to set up processes. So we'll have to come back to this thing so that ministers can be here, so that we can deal with this thing. I don't understand what's the problem, that people can discuss interpretation for months. It's written. These things are written. How can you discuss interpretation on something that's written for months on end? Honorable Teta, remember, it's the last time I asked for the Senate, so I won't forget now. You must punish me if I do. Honourable Temba, followed by an honourable member and then sir.
Thanks, Chair. My chair is just that in our previous meeting, we also agreed about the process or on issues that need to be really looked at. The first one that comes to my mind right now, Chair, is the issue of roles and responsibility. I thought this presentation was going to assist us and tell us the roles and responsibility in terms of ESCOM and the municipality, because there were so many allegations the last time in terms of Section 160, subsection A, and section 76, where ESCOM was complaining, South was saying that they felt that they're being undermined by ESCOM all the time. Are those discussions continuing, or everything now has been shifted into the IMTT? So those issues are the issues that really need to be processed. I understand, again, ESCOM has also claimed that, look, we have done a lot of compromise here. There's a lot that we have done for the municipality, for them to function. But they're also not coming on board. We have made that shortlist to say, look, it's not going to help us to say them and us. Let's find a solution on all these issues of constitutional overlapping and also structural. Because once we have identified that, so that our representative, when they come on board, they must assist us in trying to resolve those impacts, rather than to go in circles, Chair. I just want to, my last question, Chair, is that are those meetings still continuing between ESCOM and SACA? And how far and where are the disputes? Can they summarize the dispute that, look, now,
we are at this level, the only dispute is 1, 2, and 3. So that when the executive comes on board, we only deal with the really the deadlocks, other than to start afresh all this shopping deal. We have raised these issues many times. The example has been quoted, areas has been identified, and even they went to a point to say municipality so and so, as we speak, it's been shut down now. We went to that process. Can that be clarified? All the sections in terms of the constitution that are giving this problem were in terms of roles and responsibility, so that we can just zoom to it, and knowing that when we want the executive to talk to it direct, rather than to start afresh the new shopping list, and see whether ESCOM is really undermining the SALCA, or SALCA is just that they don't want to come or play the ball accordingly. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. I am going to ex member of COFTA Portfolio Committee. Chair, I am probably thinking that Honorable Mtarane will not come to sit there on top, because to him, this matter is long overdue. It should have been solved already. But I would be very happy also to see him coming there. But on this matter, I know that he's probably very, you know, frustrated himself. But, Chair, I wanted to say that...
So, do you want to ask him to come?
I'm requesting him to come that side. No, Chair, I want to say that, you know, to an ordinary South African, who is not a member of parliament, not a DG, or not in serving SALCA, it could be an insult that government by one party is frustrating itself. It could be an insult. And I don't really know. Because we all agree that what is the problem? It's one government, not like in somewhere else there's another party, so different parties are frustrating. It's one government. What makes it difficult to really solve these things? Because if we delay solving these problems, the delays must be an investment for a bigger program, bigger problem in the future. And I'm thinking that, you know, just like some of us are impatient over this matter, I think municipalities themselves and all the stakeholders who are confronted with this problem are impatient themselves. And really, I'm appealing, Chair, that those departments that are not here, they find it in peace to actually help resolve the matter. It's really long overdue, but I'm finding it difficult to understand why one government is frustrating itself. Thanks, Chair.
Oh, is your hand up? Okay. Please proceed.
You see, this problem, problems will never be resolved. You won't get solutions to this problem, because what is needed here is money. The money to address these problems is what is needed. And the money for this entity, is not meant to address the problems that you have. These are monies that have been diverted. That is why the highly placed government will never come down and address these issues with us. You we had, you know, I remember the October last year, presidential proclamation concerning investigations at two of our municipalities in Kukune, where myself and Bushmaster come from. Those investigations, I've said it time and again in this meeting, lasted only for 2 weeks. Just 2 solid weeks. And you see, officials, because of this laissez-faire policy at that level, officials even boast to the public that nobody will ever take us to that. The investigation of nothing. So at the municipalities in question, they took only 2 weeks, and then when we asked, nobody had an answer. A month thereafter, a letter came from the province informing council that municipal council that the investigations had been called off because of the fact that the investigations revealed that the projects who were investigated were actually endorsed by the district municipality. This was a local municipality. Now the question that comes to mind is whether district municipalities are actually babysitting local municipalities, because these are CSOs on their own, whether they are actually allowed to babysit local municipalities. This is a very good problem. Because some of these people are involved, for tender provisions that are involved at local level. This is why this problem will never be resolved. It will never be resolved. We really need to call this minister to come in front of us here to lay bare these issues that we are actually grappling with, including these issues that are raising, to say that there are traces of their actions at that level. There are traces of their actions at that level. So we are sitting here year in, year out, like many of us have said here that these issues have been raised 20 years ago, and here still today is grappling with this. If we don't face the truth and tell them in their face when they are in front of us, really, they were fighting the solution. We are really fighting the solution better here. The far outside is expected to address issues pertaining to municipalities. There is nothing that they can do if there is no money available. Money is being used at local level by some of the highly placed people. Like I used to say that for the 13 years that I served at local level, we have this on record. That some ministers go down to that level, they condescend to that level and become part of the bad things that are happening. So we are going nowhere here. We are going nowhere. We are really going nowhere. We keep on accusing departments and officials and what they do. But the real thing is the powers that be must come here and answer this question. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. DM, honorable members. I think as SALCA 1, we will agree and support the view expressed initially that let the ministers come and engage. Let me raise this issue, maybe a little bit of the not necessarily controversial, but facts. The PCC in August took a decision to, when SALGA presented our intention to seek a declaratory order on this matter, because it seemingly there is no area, there is no way to find one another between ourselves and ESCOM, and therefore we resort to go to constitutional court to determine on this matter. And in that PCC, we presented the matter, and the PCC resolved to establish IMTT. And then IMTT met, and the requirement of that PCC was in the PCC of November, there should be a report. And in between, they should, IMTT should meet both a technical level and a political level. As we were preparing to go to the PCC, the one that was scheduled for November, and unfortunately, the meeting did not sit, and the meeting only sat, it was set under the absence of other ministers affected. The only minister that was there present, it was the Minister of Culture. And the matter between ourselves, the minister, looking into the matter, looking into the date ahead of us, November, to go to PCC, what will be the report? Because the presidential coordinating structure directed that the following ministers had to participate this year, and COCTA had to lead it. And there were various discussions, and our view was very clear that, but at least we should have been allowed to, so that it helped all of us, so that we don't move with this dark cloud of ourselves in terms of uncertainty, in terms of the constitutional provisions. Then this matter that you see here, it was a compromise to report to PCC in the absence of other departments. And then because it could have been given an opportunity to deliberate on these concerns that we have, and ESCOM have, and various ministries have. I think that is what, and I'm happy to come here and you don't find the ministers. This is what happened in the IMTT. They were not there. They were there on the PCC. Now, you are sitting with the quagmire then, because this matter should have been then processed at that level. Now, it could have not been processed at that level. And the only minister that was there is COCTA, and he could not take a decision on behalf of other ministers, which were made to be part of the team. And that is why, probably, we are sitting with a problem that says, let's subject the process to advisory team or individuals that may be in the interim whilst there is no vigor to attend and resolve this matter on behalf of our communities. Some work should be done and some responses to communities should be given. And maybe the impasse between ourselves as SALGA, ESCOM will go through, because there will be interpretation. What we wanted really as SALGA is leadership to prevail. And of course, in terms of the Constitution, a proper interpretation to be given so that it satisfies ourselves, it satisfies, ESCOM would believe so. So I think, Chair, what you see there as a report, it was a report crafted at the eve of the PCC, and the PCC could have not even really do much because there's some answers that they had to be provided on this matter. So I'm saying, it's important that I must raise it here. And that is why we said at the preparation of this presentation, If you look at the presentation, there's over 80% repetition of what it was said in numerous meetings. And I was saying, the expectation to this committee is to then provide an update to what happened. And part of that what happened, we should start from what we have said in the previous sitting of the committee, that there was IMTT to meet, which it, most of the ministers were not there, not most, so it was only one minister that was there. So I thought I must clarify that, and we believe SALGA will participate, and that is why we thought that when we are called to come here, we must come and we must raise these concerns. It is frustrating, raised.
Can I ask you two direct questions? So first thing, saying that this recommendation of a panel is not a recommendation of the interministerial task team, the complete conference. But secondly, what did the PCC say about the recommendation?
The PCC, according to the discussions and deliberated, agreed with this presentation. That the panel or the team, it had to be looked at. It had to be established, a process, it had to be followed, and that is why then as SALGA we had to make our submission to COGTA in terms of the composition, the terms of reference, and so on, which COGTA is busy with that because it has been approved and agreed by PCC.
So, honourable members, can we there were several questions that I asked earlier. So I think we should go back there to respond to the questions. Deputy Minister of Energy, unfortunately, you are the only one present here. And Honorable Mdaga, I can assure you that when we agree on a date, I'll make sure that the Minister of Energy and the Deputy Minister of Energy are present in the meeting. When we agree on a date, I'll make sure by asking them to be present. And I know they will come. So, if you maybe want to speak last, but because we're the only one who's present here, can we get responses to the questions, to the specific questions, the specific questions asked by the members, if you can get clarity on those, and then we can give over to the Deputy Minister, and then we'll come back to concretize the proposal about our next meeting and the invitation of all the ministers.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Deputy Minister, Honorable Members of Parliament. The question raised, I will respond to questions in as much as it relates to my knowledge and in as much as it relates to the area of work. The other questions that need response from my political principles, that will be escalated to my political principles. So I won't be responding.
Sure. Sorry. No, I don't understand what we're going to do now, because we've asked a lot of questions, and now what we're being told is that a lot of them can't be answered. So what is really the point of this meeting? I just don't know.
So why are you interrupting my David? I thought you could allow him to finish. So do you want us to make a decision at this point about this meeting?
Chair, I guess I'm just venting my frustration.
Venting, okay, David. Honorable Matar, you don't want to vent, so can we hear you out and Honorable Dean?
Oh, Matar.
Chair, thanks very much.
To suggest that we adjourn this meeting, because it has no use, Chair, just to sit. One, you make a lot of rhetoric. That's a reputation. Secondly, there's no way forward. We're just meeting for the sake of it. I think Honorable Stoffel was spot on. Because we want a progress report here. A progress report. And I'm not so sure, Chair. Maybe we must change it by the way we are talking. But seemingly, the challenge surrounded the political willingness has come up. And we can discuss and see the sunset of the political willingness to get a way forward in this matter. And this matter is very serious because it affects a lot of municipalities. And in those municipalities, we have communities. Now, if things goes like this, I'm not so sure. Yeah, but my view is that we can close the meeting. Maybe we reschedule the meeting where we're going to get a progress report. We don't want a presentation. We want a progress report so that our input are based on the outcome, you know, in terms of our progress report. Because we can sit here and talk about it.
I'll come back to you, Honorable Dagan, I insist that we speak before we close. There are many problems if we delay this. I know of two that are very serious, that if we delay finding a solution to the problem, the debt is growing, that we've been talking about. The second thing is that the cost of rehabilitating infrastructure are growing. The first time we received a report on the state of the infrastructure throughout the country, we were told that it would cost 40 billion rand to repair the infrastructure. Later on, we received a report that says the cost of risen to 70 billion. So the more we delay, we are not going to be able to resolve this problem. It's going to become insurmountable. Honorable Dagan, I would like you to speak in particular with regard to the proposal to have a meeting and potentially its timing and making sure that we can get all the ministers here. After that, I'll give to Minister of Energy and then we can attend the meeting.
Welcome, the Chair. I'm not sure what I could say and ways you can assist us to address some of these issues. Melham is here. I think that we should organize a meeting. It just is our last week here. Maybe we should do that before the end of the year, but I know that is our last week, really, on Friday is our last day here where it is possible for members of parliament to still come and have work to do here in parliament is another issue. Of course, no member can be disallowed to enter parliamentary precinct if he has a duty to do. I think we should consider that, unless we should consider it early next year, a bigger meeting, because it involves four committees that I thought they were water and sanitation, energy, COFTA. We always involve treasury because also monies are from there. we have a real discussion about this matter and try our level first on how we can do. It's just as parliamentarians though, there are always limitations to us because we are not implementing agencies. We are policy makers, we can do everything, we can make proposals. But if administration is not implementing what we are proposing, I think Honorable Duru was raising the point that we have been raising these matters for some time now. But it's very clear that it doesn't work. It's worse anyway when even ministers who are charged with this responsibility don't meet. What else can we do as members of parliament? Maybe we should have inquiry. No, I just think that we should, on our proposal that we should meet, I'm not sure about exact timing. If it was not because we are leaving tomorrow, on Friday, truly speaking, maybe somewhere in January, first week, in second week in January, when we come back, before the State of the Nation address, have a meeting, a little bit a longer day for our meeting and have a discussion on this issue, invite all those that have to be invited. And I think ministers would really attend, and I think they should be urged to attend. Anyway, they are not doing favor to us to attend to the duty. It's not a favor, really. They are not just doing it because they love us. They do these things precisely because they are obliged by the Constitution to come and account. I think ministers should be invited. We plan it a little bit long, and then I think ministers will come, all of them will come here. And maybe at the privilege of the Treasury, in terms of the top administration then, and then other ministers, I think they will always come and address us on some of these issues. And I think it should be frustrating anyway to from SALCA. They've been working very hard persuading the IMTT to work on this. It's not working. If it was parliamentary work, Melhem, we should have done this work long time ago. It's very easy on our side, maybe this side to meet and do work. But this is the work of the executive. They must do what they should do. I thought because they are come to parliament, we must just force them to happen. I thought it's very strange that sometimes members of parliament tend to be very begging to ministers, truly speaking, for various reasons. These are our colleagues and members, all of us. But one way or another, I think we should just put our foot down, request them to a meeting, have a thorough discussion, a clear agenda. Out of that meeting, of course, should do. If we have to report to the chamber, we are allowed to do so. To report to the chamber that ministers are unable to attend this meeting. And then parliament then can take appropriate decision about some of these issues. I think it's long. I think we have been talking about this matter for the last, I think it's a year now. And there's similar report every time. No progress made. Members make contributions. I don't think really we are moving forward to speaking from the chair. It should be very frustrating to us. But let us agree, maybe second week of January, when we come back, I don't have the calendar for next year. Let us have a meeting for committees before Honorable Mokonyane, switch off water, cut off water, and make it difficult for people to have water at December time. I think we should try to address some of these issues. I do think that we can address them, but provided that ministries who are given this responsibility, they assist us to do that. Otherwise, the last resort that Parliament has, they are very reluctant to do this. Just to summon ministers to come. We are very reluctant because we think it's a very extreme way of doing things with your colleagues, to subpoena them or to summon them to come and attend the meeting. And then I think we should work out that way from the chair. It will assist us. I think the administration of these committees, they can sit down. I don't think anyway they are ending their work on Friday. Only members of parliament who go, they can then plan for next year. They will be in charge with chairpersons of committees. We prepare it very well. We may invite other people who can add value to that broader meeting. And then all ministers, then they can give their account to the committee on that. I think we should tighten the management of this. I think it should be also frustrating to administration, truly speaking, because Chupilo is here. If there's no progress in terms of the political issues, he can't do anything except to report one and the same thing every day. They said, because they can't do anything, can't force ministers to do what? We are the only one, Chair, truly speaking, can force ministers to do what you want them to do. And the president can do that, I guess, at the executive level, but in parliament, we are the only one that have constitutional right and will do that and force them to do what you want them to do. Unless, of course, they say the decision is wrong, then they can engage with us. But I think let us do that from the chair and try to persuade them to do what they have been proposing. I think it's very frustrating to South Korea. They've been appealing to us, Chair, several times. Well, the last 3 years, anyway, they've been raising one in the issue, the Honorable Stoffi. But it seems there's no progress in this. They should be very frustrating to them. I think also members of the committees here, they should be frustrated about one and the same thing every time. I think we'll call them to come in. I know the Minister of Culture are always willing to come. I know that Melham wanted him for other reasons. He's always willing to come. We'll invite him, we'll come. Have a discussion next year, second week. Chair, if that allows us to have space to do it, I think let us do it. Further to do so, we subpoena them, and then we initiate the inquiry. And then have a discussion about that. I think it would be very exciting. Committees of Parliament exerting their right to do things. But I think that is the last resort, really. I think we should do that after they'll come.
Thank very much. That's helpful. We'll work. Certainly, we agree that we'll have a follow-up meeting. Certainly, that we need all the ministers to be present. So we just have to work on the timing of the meeting. So we'll work.
Chairperson, I'd just like to thank the chairperson of the Cognitive Portfolio Committee, and I agree with his sentiments wholeheartedly. I think there's an opportunity for us here to deal with the report of the advisory panel, because according to this presentation, the advisory panel report should be ready by the end of January. So why don't we schedule a meeting for the first week of February, where we consider that report of the advisory panel, because at least then we'll know that some progress has been made and there'll be something for us to look at. I'm just worried if we meet this week or next week, we're going to be told that there's no progress, because we know that there's no progress that's been made. So why don't we give the advisory panel the opportunity to do its work? They've got until the end of January. They need to be appointed by the 15th of November. They've got until the end of January. And then we meet in the first week of February. We have a joint committee meeting, and we summon those ministers on the IMTT to come to that meeting. And I think that that would be a good way forward. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, it's a good contribution. I think that's what we will do. I know you have other reasons for not wanting to come to this. We will take into account what the report says with regard to the time that has been given to that. So give us time to talk amongst the chairpersons. So the timing of the meeting will take into account that the report of the parliament is ready. Deputy Minister, we want to close the meeting.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will not be answering, but maybe just as honourable member asked, I think a very direct question around some of these issues, even though it will not be comprehensive. But maybe just to give him an indication that since we have a planning of what the electricity energy mix is and what is planned. If you then have all municipalities deciding this is what we're going to do, there are a number of things you must consider. One is they will need infrastructure. That's Eskom infrastructure, because this is unlike the self-generation. You're going to provide, I'm sure if the city is purchasing, it will be for the use of the citizens. Then you have to look at the issue of the cost management, the infrastructure, the feed-in tariffs, what then happens at the COGSA and SALGA level, because Cape Town can do it, Johannesburg might be able to do it, but most municipalities will not be able to do it for various reasons. So it has a lot of policy things. It's not a simple thing that everybody do as you will. So I think when we have the discussions, we'll have to actually put on the table and say these are the issues. So when we make decisions, we have that information. The issue around the street lighting, also an issue that's been on the table for quite a long time, and it comes back to the issue of finally, even if you say you take responsibility, there's the budget issue and who manages that. Maybe honorable members, one of the things that I sit and ask myself, what was the thinking maybe in the 90s when some of these things were decided, that we say development happens at a local level, but the budget of local government is 10%. So it doesn't matter how much we talk here, they will not be able to actually be able to pay these fees that we're talking about. So those are some of the things I ask myself, how was the thinking and the planning around these issues? Local government, how many municipalities, less than 10% of the budget. What are we saying? So if we are going to manage government and everything at provincial or at national level, I'm just throwing it out there because I struggle with it myself. As I ask myself, if you're saying municipalities would also want to be able to do this, these issues, they have to get revenue from providing services. The implications, at least from a DOE perspective, is the tariff keeps on going up to a point where it's not affordable, it's strangling the economy, it's not something that is sustainable. It impacts on Eskom, less customers, tariffs going up. So in the end, Eskom itself is going to end up not being viable. So this discussion, unfortunately, is not as simple, this is what you're doing, you do it, because you have to then look at the entire thing. And therefore, I agree with yourself, Chairperson, that if you do not have the collective, then you make decisions without taking this and that and that into account. I think as the Department of Energy, what we've done in the last 3 months is we've had presentations by NERSA, by SALGA, by DOE, and then we had public enterprises, but they were separate. We need a point where all these things come together. So when we look at the picture, it's a whole picture, because there are all these implications that come about through things. Might be able to say, well, it's a nice thing to do, let local government do it. And we know, as we sit here, that a lot of those municipalities don't have the capacity to do those issues. So I think we I'm feeling quite terrible. I was not in the PCC, so I'm not able to assist in terms of what the discussions there and how they arrived at some of these issues. But I am aware that from ourselves, we have put a number of these issues on the table, and Eskom and DPE have their own proposals. We make the policy, but we don't have direct oversight over some of the implementation. Maybe just as a conclusion, for instance, if you look at the map of South Africa, most of the rural areas are Eskom areas. And if you look at the delivery in those rural areas of municipalities versus Eskom, Eskom is defaulting, maybe it's about 70%. It's not moving at the pace it should be. And maybe it makes sense because there isn't a lot of revenue for Eskom there. So there's no real incentive. And those are some of the things we actually need to discuss and say, what does it mean? unlike municipalities, once people want services, they don't go to ESCOM, they go to the municipality. So a lot of municipalities end up electrifying ESCOM areas, so to say, and ESCOM comes on board. So we need a real discussion in terms of saying, what we have today, which was decided in the 90s, is it still relevant? Do we still have the same situation? Because in those days, we had an ESCOM with a lot of capacity. Today, ESCOM and the municipalities are using consultants in the same way. So there are all those issues that we need to take into account. Thank you.
Thanks, Helen. I can see Honorable Masonde is taking notes about the earlier discussions they had in the 90s. So thank you very much for that, Deputy Minister. I hope you'll also use your available time to communicate in the manner you do to the rest of your colleagues about preparing for this meeting properly. Because we don't want to come to another meeting and then we can't have substantive discussions and then find a solution to this. Honorable Mdagan, so thanks very much. I realize you succeeded in refusing to come sit here. So in our next meeting, we will chair the entire meeting for the whole day. Honourable members, thanks very much. Thanks, Deputy Minister, for coming. The meeting is adjourned.